Today's daf is daf Mem Beis, and we were on the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Beis, and today is our dear friend Mendel's Yahrzeit, so may our learning be a schus, Lili Nishmas, Menachem Mendel, Ben Rav Yoel David. So we're in the middle of a series of stories of claims and counterclaims, all the way on the very bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Beis. So the last story was that there was a man who said to his friend, give me back the 100 zuz that I lent to you. So the guy said back, but didn't I pay you back in front of Reuven and Shimon? Reuven and Shimon came and said, nothing ever happened. So Rav Sheshes thought, okay, this guy's been caught lying. He said he paid back in front of Reuven and Shimon, and he didn't pay back in front of Reuven and Shimon, because Reuven and Shimon tell us he didn't. So he's been caught lying. We can't even accept him to take an oath anymore because he's been caught lying about money. So Amar Lei Rava. Rava said, no, when there's something that somebody doesn't have to do, he doesn't pay attention to it. A guy who borrows money has to pay back the money. He doesn't have to pay back necessarily in front of Reuven and Shimon. So if he didn't need to do it, it's not consequential. It wasn't consequential, so he misremembered. He said he did it. He said they were there. It was not something that was a requirement, so you can't, catch him. Oh, he said X, and X wasn't. But X wasn't really necessary, so he threw it in. He wasn't paying attention. He thought Reuven and Shimon were there. They weren't there. He didn't have to have them there. So therefore, it's not a proof that he's a liar.
But at the end of the day, he's lying about...
Yeah, but people misremember. There's a difference between lying and misremembering.
How could he misremember?
He was trying to remember.
No, but he didn't pay then.
He
hasn't
not
paid yet.
Could be. Maybe we don't know if he's paid or not, but we don't know that he's a liar. He hasn't proven that he's paid, that's true, but we don't know that he's a liar. So he's not a liar. We could still accept him with an oath, or he can, he's saying he paid, so, that's a credible claim too. That's a kofer bakol. He's denying the whole thing. All right, next case. Now in the very bottom here on Vem Aleph Amud Beis, last two lines. Ahud Amalei Lachavre. There was a man who said to his friend, Havli Shisme Azuzi Dimasiknabach. Give me the 600 zuz that I've lent to you. Amalei said to him, Lo praticha, but didn't I already pay you back? Maya Kavi Afzi with 100 kav of gall nuts. Gall nuts or gall nut juice was used to make leather soft and good. So basically the guy says to, Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me 600 zuz. And Shimon said, I paid you back with the monetary equivalent, with Shava Kesef. I gave you 600 jars of gall nut juice, or 100 jars of gall nut juice, and that is worth 600 zuz. Max, can you switch Gemara's with Izzy?
English.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, dekaima b'shita shita, each jar is worth, or each kav is worth 6 zuz. So I gave you 100 kav, I've given you back 600 zuz. Amar lei. So he said back to him, the lender said, it's true, you gave me 100 kav of afatzim. But lav bar bar bavu kaimi. They were not worth 6 zuz per kav. They were only worth 4 zuz per kav. So if you're admitting that you gave me the 100 kav of gall nuts, that's not yet paying me back the 600 that you owed me. That's only giving me 400. So Asu Trey Sahadi, two witnesses came, Vamru, and they said, it's true that Bar Bar Bavukaini, that the gall nuts were going at the time that he paid him for 4 zuz per kav. So Amarava, Sarava said, Uzza Kafran. Okay, we caught him lying. Here's a guy saying that he had paid back 600. We caught him paying only 400. Amar Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama said to Rava, Ha Amarta, but you just said, on the case that Baruch had a problem with, that comes to Loramulade in Chilavadite, things that people don't have an obligation on them, they don't, you just don't pay attention to. So here too, there was no obligation on the lender to remember how he paid the loan, just that he did pay the loan. So it could be that he's not caught to be a liar. We can still accept him as a as someone who swears or as a witness, because he remembered he paid. He paid some. He didn't pay all. He paid 400 of the 600. Oh, thank you. Amale Rava. So Rava answered to Rav Bar Chama. There's a difference. Ki tusa detara midkut kiri inchi. What the set price of something is, that people do remember, that people do know. I mean, that's the whole point. When it comes to paying something back, and you're paying without cash, you're paying with gall nuts, you've got to know what the gall nuts are worth. You can't just give stuff that have value. You have to know what it is. So he's claiming that it was worth 600 when it was worth 400. So we caught him in a lie. We caught him in a lie about money. Once we caught him in a lie about money, so we're not good. He's been caught as a liar. He doesn't have credibility to claim in some other way that he paid off the whole thing. That's it. He's been caught as a liar. Okay, next case. There are 8 cases here that the Gemara is going through. All right. Hahud Amale Lachavre. There was a man who said to his friend, Habli Meya Zuzi Dumasiknabach. Give me back the 100 zuz that I lent you. Vahashtara. Now here is the document, the loan document, where witnesses signed that you borrowed from me 100 zuz and you owe me the 100 zuz. Now if you would have paid me back, why would I still have the document? Amarle, so the borrower said, no, Pratich, I did pay you back. Amarle, so the lender said, no. That you paid me back, Hanu, that money's Troininu. That was from the side. That was from another loan. In other words, besides the loan that's in the document, we had another loan. And that other loan, you paid me back. But the loan of the document, you haven't paid me back. So I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Israshtara. You know what? This document already is not such a great document. Because once he admitted that he got back the sum of what's in this document, but he's claiming it was for a different loan, he's admitting that he got back this sum. So you know what? And the guy's claiming there was no other loan, that it was just for this. So the document's already weak.
Rabbi, does the lender have to accept another kind of payment if the value is the same? So if I lend the 100
yes.
dina and get grain, I have
That's
to
right.
accept the grain?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Shulchan Aruch says you even have to accept shirai, silks. But a guy lent money and the borrower doesn't have the money to pay back. But he says, you know, I have a container of shirts that I brought in from Hong Kong. Take that. You have to take it back.
At least he's not a gunner. He's an honest guy, you know.
With the same kind of money,
you know? Yeah, this stuff can always be turned into money. Shava kasef kekasef. What is has the value of money is like money. Can sell it.
The lenders are becoming
exactly. Now the lender is going to have to do some effort. Okay.
That could give me money. You will not take building?
Depends where. Depends where.
You
live
in Baba Kama, you take anything, right? Beans,
exactly. Bitcoin. Bitcoin. I don't know if Bitcoin is something. You have to ask Paul. Is it something? I don't know.
It's mind.
I don't know. I don't know if halacha. To me, it looks like davar she'eino gufo mamo. Something that its essence is not money. I don't. There's no. It doesn't have anything tangible.
This time next year, you can use it on Amazon.
That could be, but still,
Rabbi,
I don't know if it is.
I think in French they call it Baba Meiser.
So, I don't know. It could be. All right, so Rav Nachman held that now the loan document was weakened. Rav Papa said, Lo, it's Rashtara. No, the loan document is not weakened. The lender is claiming that this was for a different loan. He still has a loan document. If this loan that's in the document would have been paid off, the document would have been torn up, the document would have been returned. The fact that the document is still around, and there's no shovar, there's no receipt on the document, so this document is good. So now the Gemara asks a contradiction between stories with Rav Papa. So Rav Papa here says that the document is still good. Rav Papa, now according to Rav Papa, Maishna, how is this any story different? Meyahu, from the following story. Da'amar le'lechavre, where a man said to his friend, Havli me'azuzi de'mesikna bach. Give me the 100 zuz that I have lent to you. V'hashtara, and here is the document saying that you owe me the money. Amar le, and the man said back, Lavatori haftli, didn't you give me that 100 zuz, not as a loan, but you gave me the 100 zuz to buy oxen from me, or actually more. You gave me the 100 zuz so that I would be a business partner with you, that I should go buy oxen, we would slaughter them, and then we would split the profits. And I did that. I went and I bought oxen, I slaughtered them. V'asis v'esiv amasachta. And you came, and you sat, you know, there with the butchers, the kebelt zuzach, and you got the profits from the ox the way you should. And the person who came with the loan document said, Hanu, that story, Sitroininu, that was a different 100 zuz. In other words, that was for a different loan. There was a different loan, not that we had in a document, but that you had borrowed orally. And for that loan, you went out and you gave me some of the profits of the meat. But now, you still owe me for this loan. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, I'm sorry, Itra Shtara. Now the loan document is weakened because the lender has said that that there was another loan arrangement. There was money that he got. So Gemara says like this, Hasam, in that case where the guy, you know, paid off a loan from profits. Came in the Kamar Atori Yahavtali Umitori Shakal, since the borrower says, you gave me the money for the oxen business deal, and from the profits you got paid back, and the lender is quiet about that. He's admitting that this loan document was for the oxen, Itra Shtara. So now he's admitting that this loan document is problematic. That he's saying that this loan document is referring to the oxen deal, and the oxen deal he got money. Now he's saying he has another loan, and for that other loan he didn't collect, he's using this document. But he's admitting he weakened this document. But in our case, where the lender says, my loan document is good, the money that I got from you is for a different loan, same as Troy and Inu, maybe there was another loan. So this loan document is still good. And again, the case was that a man said to his friend, you know, give me back the 100 that's in this loan document. And he said back, but one second, that this 100 in the loan document was all because of a business deal of oxen. And in fact, I did give you back that money at the butcher's once we made our profits. And he said, yeah, that's true. You did give me back the money for this loan document, but there are other loans that you owe me. That's why I never gave you back this loan document. So Rav Papa said, the loan document is weakened. So yeah, here the loan document is weakened because the lender is admitting that this loan document really has been paid off. It's not really good. Oh, he's holding on to it. He's such a conniving fellow. That doesn't give him a right to now collect from some other loan. Maybe the other loan never happens. So therefore, here the borrower, his case is stronger than the lender.
It looks like instead of slaughtering the oxen, it was slaughtering his partner. That
So that's what Phil Danishevsky's father, Alav HaShalom, that was one of his jokes, because he started off as a shochet, then he went into Wall Street. He was one of the first from Jews down on Wall Street. So he used to say, I went from slaughtering cows to slaughtering portfolios.
Wow. You must have had a big butcher shop.
So the Gemara now says, my havi Allah. So what's the halacha about a man who brings a loan document and the borrower says, I paid, and the lender says, you did pay, but that was for a different loan. So Rav Papi Amar Lowit Rishtara, he passes like Rav Papa. As long as the lender is claiming this document is still good, so the fact that he admitted that there was money that changed hands between the two of them doesn't weaken this document. And Rav Shesh ben Ravidi Amar, Rav Shesh, the son of Ravidi, says, no, it Rashtara, the document did get weakened. The Ilchson Halach is it Rashtara, since the lender is claiming he paid back this loan document, and the borrower is admitting that, yes, I did get money back. He's just claiming it wasn't for this loan. He's claiming it was for another loan. This document is weakened. Adds the Gemara, Bahani Mili, this is true that we're saying that the document is weakened. Depare ba'ape sadi, when he paid back in front of witnesses. Velo it kashlara, and even though he didn't say at the time that he's paying back, this is for the loan that's in the document, it makes sense that if somebody's paying back a loan, the first thing he wants to get rid of is he wants to get rid of the loan that's written, because that's a loan where there's proof. He's not looking to get rid of the oral loan before he gets rid of the written loan. So his claim that I got rid of the written loan is very logical. Avol pare ben didei l'didei. But if he didn't pay in front of witnesses, he just paid to the lender. So since the lender, this is a migud, the lender could have said, I never got anything, and no one would be able to prove him wrong. So he would have been believed about that. So then he would be able to collect again with this document. So therefore, now that he's saying, I got, but it was for a different loan, yachol nami lememar sitroi ninu. We can also say it was for the outer loan. Ukeda avimi bereder b'avot, like the story with Avimi, the son of b'avot. So the story with Avimi is back in Masechta Ksubos. He owed money, and there was a loan document about the loan that he had taken. And he sent the money to the lender with a shaliach. And the shaliach gave it to the lender, and he didn't take the document back. So then the lender claimed, hey, that was money for a different loan that Avimi owed me. The document loan has not been paid back. So Bavo said that was the mistake of his son, that his son went and paid without witnesses. So the lender has a migut. The lender could have said, I never got anything. He would have been believed because there were no witnesses. So now that he says, I got, but it was for a different loan, he's believed about that as well. All right, another story about claims and counterclaims. There was a man who said to his friend, the man had borrowed from his friend, so he tells the lender in front of witnesses at the time that he's borrowing, I'm accepting that you will be believed. Whenever you say I didn't pay it back, I'm going to believe you. Now, even though normally a borrower is believed to say he paid back, here he has waived that right. He said to the lender, you're going to be believed whenever you say I didn't pay back the loan, and I will not be believed when I say I paid it back. So then, azal pari ba'ape sadi. This borrower went and he paid back in front of two witnesses. And now the lender comes and claims he never got it. Abai and Rava said, Hahimnes, this is his own problem, the lender. The lender said, I'm going to believe you, whatever you say. So you're saying that I still owe. So even though there are witnesses against it, I still owe. Maskel for Rav Papa. So Rav Papa said, wait, I don't understand that. If he says, I'm going to believe you whenever you claim, that means I'm believing you more than myself. But can you say that a person says somebody's more believed than witnesses in Allah? So the best way to know something is two witnesses. He never said you're going to be believed to me more than two witnesses. So therefore, he is believed when the witnesses are believed. They said he paid back. So that's it. He doesn't have to pay again. A similar story. There was a man who said to his friend, in other words, a lender said to the borrower. I'm sorry, the borrower said to the lender, Mehebnet li ke betrei. You, my lender, are trusted to me like two witnesses. Kolemas tamrat lo parano. If you're going to say that I didn't pay, it's like two witnesses saying I didn't pay. Then, azal pari ba'apit lasa. Then he went and he got three witnesses, and in front of the three witnesses, he paid. And now, a week later, the lender is claiming He never paid. You need to pay me. Amar Rav Papa, kebet shvei himne. He believed him like two witnesses. Kebet klas alo himne. He didn't believe him like three witnesses. So since he went to get three witnesses to see the repayment, and those three witnesses are saying there was a repayment, the lender is not believed against them, and the borrower does not need to pay.
But you found that two or three doesn't...
One second, Fred, what were you asking?
Is that a general rule for witnesses are better than
two? No, no. It's talking about... Thing, correct, but we're talking about human psychology, right? He said, you're like two. So in his mind, three is better. So then already three would be believed. What's the question, Gabriel?
It was
a simple question. Okay. Rav Yoshua, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yoshua, said to Rav Papa, Emor dami Rabbanan, daslinam basa rov deos. When do the Rabbanan say that sometimes, you know, three is better than two? Hani mili, that's true. Linyan umdina, let's say in terms of assessing how valuable an object is. Two say it's worth 20, three say it's worth 25, we'll say it's worth 25. The more people involved in giving evaluation, so, you know, they're more experts and you're going to get to a better result. So that's true. But in regards to testimony, you have the question of Gabriel and Fred. 100 are like 2 and 2 are like 100. So therefore, once he said, you are believed to me like 2 witnesses, that's the equivalent of saying you're believed to me like 100 witnesses. So the fact that he went and he has 3 witnesses going against the lender, it shouldn't help him. That's the view of Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua. Lishnach, mean a different version of what Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, said? It was in the following case. Ahud Amar Lechavre, a guy says to his friend, Mehemnet Li Kebetrei, you, my lender, are trusted to me like 2 witnesses. Kol Emas Damet Lo Prano, whenever you say I didn't pay back, Azlu Pari Bapet Lasa. You know, whenever you say I didn't pay back, you're trusted. Then Azal, then the borrower went to Pari and he paid him back, Bapet Lasa, in front of 3. Amrav Papa, Rav Papa said, Kebetrei Himne, Kebet Lasa, Lo Himne. He believed him like 2, he didn't believe him like 3. Maskefler, Rav Huna, Rav Yoshua, so Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yoshua, said, against Rav Papa, he challenged Rav Papa, but Trei Kimea, Umea Ketrei, but 2 are like 100, and 100 are like 2. So once he believed him, that means he believed him better than witnesses, even better than 3 witnesses. Now, V'yamet Le Kebet Lasa. Now, the borrower would have said to the lender, you, the lender, are believed to me like 3 witnesses. Then, v'azolupare bape be'arba. Then he would make a point of paying him back in front of 4 witnesses. Came with the nachas l'deo. So once he threw out a number, which is really not normal, 3 witnesses, so 3 apparently is for him more than 2, then nachas l'deos, then 4 would be more than 3. Then if he's saying 3 as meaning something, 3 would be more than 4 would be more than 3. But if he says, you're like 2 witnesses to me, that means you're like witnesses. So 3, going now in front of 3 doesn't give him more credibility. 3 is like 2. All right, back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ein nishban al tainas chayre shote v'katan." When we talk about claims, you don't have to swear if the claim against you is made by a minor, by an imbecile, by a deaf mute, and we won't make a minor swear. Explains the Gemara why. My time, what's the reason? Amar Kach, because the Pasuk says, Ki yitain ishel re'eyu kesef okelim lishmor. If a man will give to his friend money or utensils to watch, a man to a friend. Ve'nesinas katan klum. So it says ish. So a child is nothing. So if a child makes a deposit and a child then makes a claim, that's not a claim that's going to create an obligation of Shua Sadayanim. But then the Mishnah goes on and says, Avo nishbayan lekatan ulhekdish. But you do swear to a child or to the temple trust. Right, what do you mean? V'amati just said in the Reish, in the beginning, Ein nishbayan al taina shote v'katan. We don't swear when an imbecile or a minor, press a claim. So Amar Rav answered, that's biba b'tainas aviv. The end of the Mishnah, which says we do swear to a child's claim, that's when the child is saying, my father gave you a deposit. He's not around, or he's not alive anymore. And I'm demanding it. So it is, in fact, a case of ki yitein ish, when a man gave. And that's why the claim has power. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, and this is the view of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tanya in a Brisa, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov omer pa'am shadam nishbal tainas atzmo. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov thinks that sometimes a person will have to swear because of the claim that he makes against himself. Okay, it's not how would that? Amar lo. Let's say the borrower goes to the son of the lender and says, Mana lavicha biyadi, your father lent me 100. Ve'echaltiv pras, I gave back to him half of it, I gave him back 50. But I still owe you guys 50. So that is modu b'miktsas. Reza nishba, he has to swear about that he gave the 50 and that he only owes 50. That's a case where a man has to swear with his own taina, based on the taina he put on himself. Chachamim say, no, this is not a case where he would have to swear. He's being meshev aveda. He could have claimed lo hayu dvar me'olam. He would have been believed about that. So he's, out of the goodness of his heart, he's admitting to the orphan that he owes 50. So the orphan can't make him swear. Upatri is exempt from an oath. So according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, just like if he admits on himself, he would have to swear. So to a child who comes with the claim of the debt that his father had created, can create an oath obligation.
Doesn't the court support the child?
True, we're going to get to that. Now, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Lesle Meshav Aveda Pater, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't hold that when you're returning money, let's say things that you find, Shavas Aveda, then you don't have to swear. Amar Rav. Rav explained the case of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. It's not that it's all based on the man. It's b'shetano katan, where the child claims, hey, you owed money to my father. So Gemara says, katan, the child makes a claim. But the child's claim we just said in our Mishnah doesn't mean anything. We don't have to swear based on the claim of a child. The Gemara explains like this. Lolam gadol. Really, it's an adult who's making the claim. Amai kari le katan. Why is he called a child? The legabe mili davua katanu. In regards to his father's business deals, he is a katan. How would he know all of his father's business deals? He's over 13 right now. But how would he know all of his father's business deals? So in regards to his father's business deals, he is a katan. Ihachi, so the Gemara says, if that's the case, that he's a gadol when he's making the claim, so why is Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov saying it's tainas atzma, it's the litigant's claim against himself that makes the litigant swear, tainas acherimi, it's the claim of others that are making him swear. So the Gemara says, tainas acherim vodas atzma, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov means it's the claim of others and his admission. So now turning to Mem Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara says, but that's every oda b'miktsas. Kulunami, every case of a person who admits and then has to swear is where it's taina sacherim vodas atzmaninu, where other people make a claim and he admitted to part of it. So, well, we're going back to the first idea. Really, you're talking about a child. Ella, so rather, it is dealing with a child, and the child is claiming the object that his father had given, so it wasn't a sinas ish. And Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim but the Rabba Kamiflugi, they are arguing about an idea that Rabba had advanced. So Amar Rabba, Rabba said, and we've seen this mentioned already a couple of times, what's the reason why if someone admits to part of the claim, does he, okay, we take that admission, we'll pocket it, we're going to make him pay that amount, and he'll swear on the rest. Why do we make him swear on the rest? After all, as David asked, he has migu. He could have denied the whole thing. He would have gotten away with that. So now that he only denies some of it, he should get away with that. So Rabbi explained, there is no migu. Why does the Torah say if somebody admits to part of the claim, he has to swear? Because he couldn't have denied the whole thing. Because chazaka, we have an assessment of human nature. Normal people don't have the brazenness to just deny someone who did them a favor and to deny it entirely. So one second, if people don't have that much chutzpah, so why isn't he admitting to the whole thing? The truth is, v'aybekulei baidelich perlei. He really wants to deny the whole thing. V'hai delo kafre. The reason why he doesn't deny the whole thing is v'shumdeino meyiz panu b'fnei balchovo, because he is not doesn't have the chutzpah to deny it in front of the person who did him a favor. And therefore, since his admission is really not from himself, it's just because he has a hard time being such a mechutzaf, therefore it's not considered a meshiv aveda. Therefore, uvakule bai delodile. Really, he would like to admit to the whole thing. The reason why he's not admitting to the whole thing, he's only admitting to part, is because he doesn't have all the money right now. He's just trying to avoid this pressure of coming up with all the funds. He's trying to buy some more time. Savor, he's thinking, once I get the more coins, then I'll pay him back. Rahman Amar, so Hashem says, Rami Shvui Levei, we're going to place an oath on him. So that will put the pressure on him to admit to the whole thing. Okay, so now let's go to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Savar. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov holds this assessment of human nature. Lo shnabo means a person would not have the chutzpah to reject entirely a loan obligation to the face of the lender. The lo shnabo no eno meis. Nor would he have the chutzpah to reject entirely a loan that he had gotten from the father of this man who's here. I'm going to tell the son, your father didn't do anything for me, he did for me. And therefore, lav meshiv avedu, he's not someone who's considered returning a lost object. Rabbanan savri, whereas the Rabbanan hold, bifanav udeino meyus. Yeah, it's true, he doesn't have the chutzpah to reject the guy who did him a favor. Avu bifnei bino, but the son of the one who did him a favor, meyus, he would have the chutzpah. Umidalo meyus. So now here in this case, he didn't deny the whole thing. He chose to admit to some of it. Meshav Avedu, that's just being generous. He was admitting, we're not going to have to make him swear. Ask the Gemara, mi matzis mukhlitzlei, can you say, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, that our Mishnah works with Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, a katani reisha, it said in the beginning of our Mishnah, mana la'aba biyadcha, a child who says to somebody, you owe us 100 because father lent you 100. And the man responds, "Ein lecha biyadei lechamishim dinar. We owe you 50. Pater, he's exempt. He's a meshiv aveda. So according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, it's not considered meshiv aveda. Answers the Gemara, Hasam, in that case of the Mishnah, to lo amar barali. It's when the son didn't say, I know that you owe us 100. He said, I think you owe us 100. So when he says, I think you owe us 100 because I think my father lent you 100, when the guy starts to admit to that, that's hashavas aveda. But hacha, but over here, in the end of the Mishnah, damar barili, when he says, I'm sure about it, barili, that's a definite claim. Another explanation for the Mishnah, Shmuel amar, Shmuel says like this, we don't swear to a child. This at the end of the Mishnah says, Nishboyan lekatan, is addressing Roger's point. Lipara mi nichse katan, if there is an orphan, and we want to get paid back from his property, and it could even be that there is a loan document on this loan. But you can't collect from the loan, you can't collect from an orphan until you swear, because Beis Din defends the interests of the orphans. Similarly, when it says in the Mishnah, Lehekdesh, that you swear to Hekdesh, Lipar Minitzei Hekdesh, if somebody's trying to get money back from Hekdesh, let's say a man had lent money to Reuven, and so Reuven's property is now a lien to this man, and then Reuven goes and he makes it all Hekdesh. Now he comes to collect the loan, so he can go collect from Hekdesh, so, because he had a lien on the property. Nevertheless, he has to swear that he hasn't yet been paid. So the Gemara now asks, you think Nishbayin Lekatan, swearing to a child, means Lipara Minichse Katan? To collect from a child, we need to swear. But Tanina, that's in a later Mishnah. You can't get paid back from the property of orphans unless you first swear. So Tati Lamli, why would we need two Mishnayos to teach us the same thing? And so the Gemara, Hakamashwan Kedabayik Shisha. This is to teach us what the elder Abaye said. The Tani, Abayik Shisha, Abaye, the elder, and Abaye taught. Yeso min shamru. When we talk about orphans, it even applies to gedolim, even to orphans who are over 13. Ve'en tzarech lomar ktanim. Certainly, in regards to orphans who are younger than 13. Ve'en l'shvua, both in terms of an oath that a lender won't be able to collect until he first swears. And Bain Liziburis, and also in terms of another law, that if someone's collecting from property of orphans, he doesn't get the middle level of property, he gets the lowest level of property. So because it affects two laws, both the laws of Ziburis and the laws of an oath, that's why he had to have two Mishnayos. Okay, the end of the Mishnah was Nishbayan LeHekdesh, you swear to the Hekdesh. So the Gemara says, that's Liparim and Ifsei Hekdesh. Is that to tell me that to get property from Hekdesh for a loan, you have to swear to Hekdesh that the loan wasn't repaid yet? But Tanina, we learned in a Mishnah, Minachase Mishubadim, when you're going to take away land that a borrower sold, Lo Yifru Elo B'Shvua, you can't get it unless you swear. So Mali Mishubadim Lehedja, Mali Mishubadim Legavua. What's the difference between sold to somebody else or given to Hekdesh? Either way, of course, you should have to first swear. So when it says Yitzchak, I need to tell you explicitly with Hekdesh, you need to swear. Sakadat Tachmina would have thought to say, Hedyo too, when it comes to an individual, Adam Osetu Kinunya al Hedyo. People sometimes make all sorts of deals to mess up somebody else. So therefore, you have to swear. Aval Hekdesh, when it comes to the temple trust, Ein Adam Osa Kenun Yal Hekdesh, no one's going to try to mess up the temple trust. So therefore, let's say that the lender can take it without a shvuah. Kamash Malan, that he has to swear. Asks the Gemara of Amar Rav Huna, but we learned that Rav Huna said, Shchiv Merash Hekdesh Kol Nechasav. If a dying man gave all of his property to Hekdesh, and Vamar Manalaploni Biyadi, but he said, but there is a still 100 that I owe to so-and-so, or that I'm watching for so-and-so. Nehmanis believe, because Chazak and Adamos Seknun Yal Hekdesh, because we know a person doesn't ever try to mess up the temple trust. Amri, they answered in the yeshiva, Ani Mili B'Shchiv Mara. That's true when a man is dying. He's not going to sin when he's not going to see the benefits. Avogabe Bari, but with a healthy person, Vadai Chashina, we are worried that people want to mess up the temple trust. And therefore, there has to be an oath.